Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we're going to do a little deep reading today, because in taking a look at this passage, it looks very, very straightforward, right? Jesus decides to go to Galilee, meets up with Philip, calls him. He goes, gets his friend Nathanael. Jesus knows something about Nathanael. Nathanael's mystified, and Jesus says something pretty cool about himself. So it looks like a very simple story at a glance. And it's a wonderful story at a surface look. But I think there's a lot deeper things that we can find within this story. And I think that it begins starting backwards. The very last verse says, "Very truly I tell you, we will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now those of you who read your Bible regularly, and I know you all do, but those of us who read our Bible regularly will say, "I have seen that before. Where have I seen this? Angels ascending and descending upon something?" It's from the book of Genesis. It's the story of Jacob, particularly Jacob's ladder. Now if we remember that story, Jacob had fled from his homeland because he had stolen his brother Esau's birthright. He had stolen his father's blessing. Through deception and lies, he'd managed to acquire quite a bit for himself, and then he had to run away before his brother killed him. That's who Jacob was at that time. He was a bit of a trickster. He finds himself at Bethel, which literally means house of God, Beth, house, El, God. And he laid down a stone and made it a pillow for himself. God knows why he would make a stone a pillow, but that's what he did. And in his dream, he saw a ladder extending to heaven with angels ascending and descending upon it. And he said, "This is truly the house of God." It was literally a ladder to the heavens. So that's what we're actually working towards in this story. Jesus' revelation that he is a ladder to heaven. He is a gateway to eternity. So that's what we're going to be aiming for in this story. And then it'll take on a new light. So when Jesus comes to Galilee and he sends Philip out to make disciples, and Philip sees Nathanael and he says, "Hey, we have found the one whom Moses and the prophets have prophesied about, and his name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth." And Philip's very excited. Nathanael, not so much. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael's a pretty straightforward guy. He's a straight shooter. It would be like if someone came to us and said, "Hey, this great teacher has arisen. He's the one we've been waiting for, and he's from Bent Armpit, Wyoming." We might very well say with Nathanael, "Nothing good has ever come out of Bent Armpit, Wyoming." Because that's where Nazareth was in the Israelite political scheme. It was a kind of backwater out of nowhere. No one really cared about Nazareth. It didn't really become popular until, well, after the person in this story was crucified and resurrected. Nazareth was not a place of significance, at least not the place of significance that it is today. So Nathanael is rightly skeptical. But he's friends with Philip. And when our friend suggests something to us, even when we don't necessarily think that they're in the right mind, we'll at least follow along because they're our friends. And that's a good point for those of us who consider evangelism, and we should be considering evangelism, because if we have found something that we should share here at this church, then we should share it, and perhaps our friends will listen to us. It's like making a good recommendation for a TV show, like Game of Thrones. We were just having that conversation in the back. I had to do the callback for Diane. So when we recommend things to our friends, you know, we have some credibility. And so Nathanael takes a walk with Philip to go meet this Jesus from Nazareth. He's not terribly impressed yet. And Jesus says, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now, if you know that this story ends with a callback to Jacob's ladder, then you will realize that Jacob, also known as Israel, was a man full of deceit. Jacob was a man who lied to steal his brother's birthright and earn blessings for himself. So there's already a pun going on here. There's already a reference to somewhere else in the Bible. So already we've got some depth here that we didn't realize that we had. And then Nathaniel, wondering who this Jesus character is and why he seems to think so much of him, because let's just face it, if you were walking up to a complete stranger and they said, here's a person who's got no deceit in them, this person's wonderful, you would say too, who are you? Do you know me? And that's what Nathaniel says. He says, where did you get to know me? Who do you think you are? And Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. So at a surface glance, because we see how Nathaniel responds to that, right? He's like, you really are the Son of God. You saw me under this fig tree. You could not have possibly seen me under this fig tree, right? So it's as if Jesus had some kind of vision of him and where he was, and he believes. But now here's the thing. I can get a lot of mileage out of that fig tree, and I'm going to get some of that mileage tonight. First, fig tree. Figs were a symbol of knowledge in the ancient world. So when you were a rabbinical student, you would be said to be gathering figs. Okay? So we already know that Nathaniel at least understands a little bit about his faith and tradition, because when Philip comes up to him and says, oh, this is the one about whom Moses and the prophets spoke, then Nathaniel knows exactly what that means. We know that Nathaniel knows a little bit. So we could say that when Jesus says you're under the fig tree, it's an allusion to the fact that Nathaniel is actually a very studious person. But that's just another surface level. Let's go a little bit deeper. As I said, a fig was a symbol of knowledge. In particular, you might be familiar with another story from Genesis with a tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. Story in Genesis about the fall of humanity, of Adam and Eve in the garden and eating the wrong fruit. Well, in rabbinic literature, it was a fig tree. We talk about it being an apple tree. It wasn't. If it was anything, it was a fig tree. And so when he says, I see you, saw you under the fig tree, this is where this passage speaks to us, because we are all in the shadow of the fig tree. We are all under the shadow of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, we are in the shadow of sin. That's when Nathaniel becomes us. And think about it. Think about any encounters you've had with God. Did God see you coming from far off? Does God know where you are at all times? We say that today, Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. God knows us. So Jesus knew Philip, and Jesus knows us and sees us from far off. Jesus sees us even when we are under the shadow of sin. And Jesus still calls us even when we are under the shadow of sin, because he says, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You who sit in the shadow of sin, you who sit under the shadow of that accursed tree, you can come to me and I will be your ladder to heaven. That is what the message we are called to find today is, that we are to see that Jesus sees us no matter where we are and no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, and still invites us to him. Jesus invites us to see him as who he truly is, the mediator between heaven and earth, the one who reaches across the impossible distance between us and God. Because why would we even need the metaphor of a ladder to heaven if we did not already understand in our hearts that we are very far from God? And Jesus offers us himself as the ladder, as the gateway, as the mediator. So my brothers and sisters, I pray that today we would remember that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what shadows we sit under, that Jesus sees us. I pray that we would remember, no matter where we find ourselves, that Jesus calls us. And I pray finally that we would remember that Jesus offers to be for us the very ladder to heaven itself. In Jesus' name, amen. Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So I like this story. This is a good story, the story of Jesus talking to Nathanael. And at a surface glance, it's a very simple story, right? Jesus comes to Galilee, calls Philip, Philip calls Nathanael, and Jesus knows things about Nathanael that he couldn't have possibly have known, and Nathanael, of course, calls him the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Israel. But what I want us to look at today, because there's a lot in this story, and we're going to unpack it a little bit today, because at surface glance, it's a good story, but if you dig deeper, it's an even better story. And the place that I think that we should start in looking at this text is the very end, where Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, those of us who study our scripture have probably heard that before. They've heard angels and ascending and descending. Where have we heard that? Genesis, the story of Jacob's ladder. When Jacob had stolen his brother Esau's birthright and fled because Esau was going to kill him, and Jacob goes to a place called Bethel, which translated means house of God, Beth, house, El, God. And he sets down a stone for a pillow, and God knows why he would use a stone for a pillow, but he did. And he had a dream vision where he saw a ladder rising to heaven from the very spot where he was resting his head and angels ascending and descending. It was literally a ladder to heaven, a gateway to eternity. So in order to understand this story, we have to first understand that Jesus is quoting that very verse and applying it to himself. And he is saying, "I am the ladder to heaven. I am the gateway to eternity." So now we can work backwards a little bit. We have this story, Philip answers Jesus' call to follow him and goes and gets Nathanael. Nathanael, we're going to presume, is Philip's friend. And those of us who consider evangelism on occasion look to this story. Because Nathanael, when Philip encounters him, is very skeptical, right? Philip says, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was not a place of political significance or any significance at all in Israelite culture. It would be like if someone came to us and said, "Hey guys, I got to tell you, this great and wonderful teacher, the person who's maybe going to save the world, we've met him, he comes from Bent Armpit, Wyoming." I don't think any of us would jump for joy at that. I think that we would say, "Has anything good ever come out of Bent Armpit, Wyoming?" Wyoming itself is a wonderful state. If you've never been there, by the way, I love Yellowstone. I'm just throwing a cartoon reference out. If you've watched cartoons, you know Bent Armpit, Wyoming. So Nathanael is noticeably skeptical about someone coming from Nazareth. But because Philip is his friend, he goes with him. So for those of us who consider evangelism, if you make good recommendations to your friends, they're going to listen to you. We recommend books, we recommend TV, we recommend restaurants, we recommend movies. We can recommend a church. We can recommend Jesus. But moving beyond that, so then we have Nathanael being introduced to Jesus, and Jesus is, "Here is truly an Israelite in him in whom there is no deceit." Now, those of us who have read to the end of the passage know that there's a little bit of a joke there, because Jacob, Israel himself, was a bit of a deceiver and had stolen his brother's birthright. So there's a little joke going on in here, because Jesus is next going to reference Jacob's ladder. But Nathanael, now if you walked up to someone that you were told was a pretty cool and interesting person, and then they kind of seem to be pretending that they know you, you would be more skeptical. And Nathanael is as well. And he says, "Where did you get to know me?" And then Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, this works on multiple levels. The first we can assume is that there's no possible way Jesus could have seen Nathanael under said fig tree, that this fig tree has significance to Nathanael, and that Nathanael is moved by Jesus' prophetic or supernatural knowledge of him. And this leads to him to confess. But we're going to unpack that fig tree a little bit, because that's a symbol. First, the fig was a symbol of knowledge in ancient Israel. When you were studying the Torah, particularly if you were a rabbinical student, you were said to be gathering figs. So Nathanael, sitting under the fig tree, would be someone seeking knowledge. So when Jesus makes that comment, he's saying, I know you're a studious person, Nathanael. So that might be one way of reading that. But I'm going to go to the next reading, and this is the one that makes this entire story apply to all of us. I saw you sitting under the fig tree. Why a fig tree? Well, if a fig is a symbol of knowledge, can we think of another tree in the Bible? Can we think of another tree that might have been a fig tree? That would be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in Near Eastern literature, and particularly in Jewish literature, it was a fig tree, not an apple tree. Sorry to disappoint those of us who have had that image. It was actually believed to be a fig tree. It doesn't say either way in Genesis, but it was believed to be a fig tree. And so when Jesus says, I saw you sitting under a fig tree, I saw you sitting under the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. I saw you sitting in the shadow of sin. That's how this starts to apply to all of us. I saw you coming from far off, and I saw you sitting in darkness and sin, and I knew you. That is what Jesus is saying. And then that's what makes the conclusion to this chapter very, very powerful. He says, you will see heaven opened and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Because I have seen you, sir, in the shadow of sin, and I am still telling you that I am your ladder to heaven. No matter where you are, where you've been, what you've done, I am your gateway to eternity. And that is what makes this story so powerful. Because we, like Nathanael, sit under that fig tree. We sit in the shadow of sin. We know for a fact, actually, that we are far from God. If we did not know we were far from God, we would not have imagery of ladders to heaven. We know that there is a great distance between us and God, and Jesus is telling us that he will be the one to bridge that distance for us. He will be our mediator. He will be our ladder to heaven. He will be our gateway to eternity. My brothers and sisters, I pray that we would remember that no matter where we are in life, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, that Jesus still sees us and still knows us. I pray that we would remember that even though Jesus sees us and knows us for everything we have done, Jesus still calls to us and invites us to him. And I pray that we would remember that he is our only mediator. He is our ladder to heaven. And he is the gateway to eternity. And he's calling each of us to come to him. In Jesus' name, amen.